I'm here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you. It's one that I've been looking forward to for weeks now. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. Yes, I was outside trying to rescue the koi and the roses and everybody else from the 100-degree heat stroke we all had yesterday. So.
Oh, no, and we've got gorgeous weather yesterday and today. Like, could not be more perfect. 78 sunny, no clouds in the sky, no humidity. Does it get any better than that?
Not at all. It's almost worth getting on a plane and flying there. But guess what? If my memory serves me, our guest is relocating to your neighborhood.
No, from my neighborhood.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yes.
Well, I have been waiting for months and at times, actually, I could say years to have a chance to get to know Dr. Brad Semp better. And I know that you have known him for years, so I turn it over to you to introduce him and share how the two of you have come to know each other.
I can't even remember how we found one another for the first time, but Brad and I have known one another, as you said, literally for years. And I have watched in amazement with what he's done with his business. The only person I have ever seen that could literally draw a flowchart that is so valuable that people paid like $97 just to get the flowchart. And he took that into a multi-million dollar business that has just become really, really successful. The flowcharts that he's put out through Cash Maps have taught me so much about strategy, and certainly is a big part of why I've loved getting to know him over the last few years. So welcome, Dr. Brad Semp, the world's only busyness doctor.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Linda. I'm glad to be here. And I was thinking back as you were talking there, Gina, and I don't remember exactly where we met either. It might have been through, it probably was, you know, through a conference at some point. But it has been literally years that we've kept in contact and have enjoyed our conversations and friendship. And so I am delighted to be here today. And Linda, just to kind of clarify your point, you know, we're originally from Michigan and have been in Florida the last 4 years, and family and some other circumstances are now, we're kind of a little bittersweet, but we're moving from Gina's area back to Michigan. Boo-ha-ha.
Oh. Closer
Don't
to
worry.
Family,
always,
but further from the shore.
I'll always have a place for you in the winter, Brad.
I may take you up on that because, you know, where it's Florida. You know, my family, wife and children are still in Florida right now, so I've been getting back you know, regularly, kind of I'm doing the back and forth thing before they move up after school's out. And, you know, the weather, as you said, has been great. Michigan, believe it or not, the last couple weeks has been in that same mid to high 70s and sunny, except for I returned yesterday to 40-degree weather and snow flurries the day previous. So, but it's going to be 75 tomorrow, so there's Michigan weather for you.
Yeah, it's been weird up there lately. I don't know what the heck is going on with our weather patterns, but they're very backwards up there right now.
They are. Yes. So thanks again for having me. Look forward to our conversation.
So, Linda, I'm going to let you kind of steer so that you really get a chance to see the brilliance of Brad.
Works for me. Brad, I don't know if you're aware that I first saw your cash maps probably within, I want to say, 6 weeks of when I first said, I wonder what's happening over in internet land, and started following different folks who were helping small business owners get more effective. And I never knew what the backstory was about how these came to be. How did you come, you know, for our listeners who don't understand what we're talking about when we keep using this shorthand calling them cash maps, would you share, you know, how you came to start formulating these graphical ways of representing workflows in such a way that people could literally transform their businesses?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so, about, I have to go back maybe 8-9 years ago now, I was working full-time in the automotive industry, and that corporate gig, I had stumbled across the world of entrepreneurship and internet marketing and all the related activities that come along with that. And I quickly started saying, you know what, the entrepreneurial spirit in my bones, which has always been there, was cultivated, and I was trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do here? What am I going to take forward here and to fulfill that desire, that need to do something entrepreneurial? And I stumbled across an old ebook that was called, if I remember correctly, Google Cash. And that ebook, and I forget, and forgive me, because I can't remember the gentleman's name who actually wrote that now, but it set me off into this world of basically doing pay-per-click advertising on Google, and I quickly started generating tens of thousands of dollars per month in revenue and in profits. And that lasted for, I don't remember exactly, 5-6 months. And then Google changed their terms and conditions. And what I was doing, it literally shut me down overnight. And I was kind of left holding the bag, looking at it and thinking, wow, well, that was pretty cool, but it wasn't sustainable. And now what am I going to do next? And what really got me thinking, what challenged me, it didn't hurt me financially because I was still working full-time at that time, but in a corporate role. But what I started to question was, wow, that was just, I didn't really have a business. It was more of a money-making, I'll call it a scheme, not in a negative way. It was a money-making opportunity that I had found and had profited from. But I didn't have something that was sustainable.
I often call that the entrepreneurial blurt. Like, people get a concept, feel a passion for it, find an opportunity, put a ton of muscle behind it, and succeed. And then they pop out the other side. And as you just said, they didn't actually create something sustainable. Now, sometimes, you know, due to circumstances, as you just described, Google made a whole bunch of changes. So there was not a thing you could have planned for until it happened.
Exactly.
But it also,
and I love that term, entrepreneurial blurt. I just wrote that down, so I have to steal that with credit.
It's a deal.
I love that. But that, you're right. It completely described my situation and circumstances 8-9 years ago. And so I was heading to answer your question. Sorry about the long-winded answer. But
it's perfect. It's perfect because we have so many people who are with us who are in those stages of saying, I can feel in my bones that there's this entrepreneurial imperative that's mm-hmm. looking to find a voice in the world. But, and so we're describing the realities of the journey. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. And I call that your entrepreneurial spirit. And
yep.
some people have it more. I mean, it's not a unique word or anything, but that's how I like to refer to it, because everyone has some level, typically. I shouldn't say everyone. Many people have some level of entrepreneurial spirit within them, and some pursue it, some cultivate it, some do not. And and that's why I love to challenge people to pursue it and to explore. And that's basically what I did. And it opened up additional doors. It opened up my mind, and it really challenged me back then when this whole change happened within Google, to say, wow, that, as I said, that was really cool, but I need something. I want something more. I need something more. I need to build something that has some intellectual property behind it that can be sustainable in the long term. And you know, Jim Collins, Good to Great, where you know I really started looking at reading that book around that time and thinking, okay, what is it that I'm passionate about that I can be the best in the world at and that I can monetize, and what is it that I can take forward? And so I really started studying. I started studying a lot of the other entrepreneurs that were in, again, at that time primarily internet marketing, but I really encourage people to look outside of just the internet marketing field and look at the larger entrepreneurial space. But I started studying those folks and started trying to figure out, okay, what is it that they're doing? And started kind of benchmarking. Okay, this person's doing that, and this other person's doing something else. And then tried to tie that back to what I like to do. And at the time, I was in the midst of my PhD coursework and research in systems engineering, and one of the tools that is big in systems engineering is called process mapping. And process mapping is simply looking at, you know, an action and breaking it down into a set or a sequence of smaller actions to produce the result that you want to produce. And so with that, as I was looking at what everyone else was doing, I started process mapping, building these maps, these sequences of actions of what other people are doing, so that I could see them, I could visualize them, and then and internalize, better understand what other people were doing. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does.
Yeah, and so at that time, it was interesting because I started to see some patterns, and even more than that, what I saw was, as I was documenting them, it really helped me to learn all the different areas of running an entrepreneur, starting your own small business and being an entrepreneur. And as I was looking at some of the other things that were out in the marketplace, to me, what everyone was selling at the time was very short-sighted, small, very focused, maybe a training course, or back then it was maybe just some ebooks, or maybe an audio training or something like that. It wasn't comprehensive. It wasn't like, okay, I want to know everything. I'm an entrepreneur and I'm here. What are all the steps that I need to go through to start and put in place the basic foundational building blocks of my business, and then add to it and get better and better at it and actually grow something that was sustainable? So I became really frustrated because I'm sitting here mapping this stuff out, yet I'm trying to go out and look for some other training courses that could help me expand that. And I wasn't finding anything. And long story short, it all led to the point where I'm like, you know, this is crazy. I think I can help other people with these maps that I've built. So instead of just me using them and looking at everything that's out here in the world of educational training for entrepreneurs, it was, excuse my French, but pretty crappy. And I said, I'm gonna take these maps and see if these will start helping other people to expedite their learning and to help people in the entrepreneurial world to be more successful. And so that is the kind of the origin and the story behind cash maps. And so again, a cash map is just it's basically a process map, but it's focused on a specific topic, and it's a step-by-step set of actions, things that you need to do in order to achieve, you know, to achieve something. Maybe it's to market your business using Twitter, or market your business using Facebook, or maybe it's to build a team, or to outsource work to somebody. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different topics that we've broken down to. And then we also have a large, all-encompassing cash map as well. That's kind of what I started out saying, which is like the everything, step-by-step. Oh, I've got this entrepreneurial spirit. Where do I get started, and how do I take it forward? So hopefully that really resonates with, you know, with both of you and our listeners online.
I'm and, sure it does. Oh, go ahead, Gina.
And cash maps as a business, you were the creator of it. You were the founder of it. But at one point, you actually sold that business, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Cash Maps have been through an interesting path. In path to date, we have built between 600 and 700 individual step by step, like 8.5 by 11 letter size cash maps. Okay, so 600 to 700. I don't know the exact number. Then those 600 to 700 are broken into individual packages of like 8 to 12 cash maps. And along the way, we started selling those online separately at cashmap.com. And for folks that maybe, you know, remember back to, the 2005, 2006 time frame, about 2006 when I launched that, the website, then it was a full comprehensive site. It's changed now. I do have a registered term on the term cash map in the United States. So absolutely, to answer your question, I full founder of it. We sold them online. I actually then, did a partner/acquisition scenario with folks, a gentleman who many people know by the name of Mark Joyner. And so Mark and I partnered on that. We brought the Cash Map technology and my team of people to develop those and my expertise with Mark and his prowess on the marketing side, and was part of his Construct Bureau organization for some time. And then we have since split, back out and went our separate ways. So Cash Maps are a little different place right now, and I've kind of taken that technology and kind of ventured onto some additional stuff. But Cash Maps are still around, and we've actually now went back from those 600 and 700 maps and created one master entrepreneur Cash Map. That's a big wall map. It's 48 inches wide and 30 inches tall, and that's the one I keep referencing that kind of showed everything that somebody might be interested in from step one through step X to create a successful small business or entrepreneurial business.
And what is your focus today?
Well, interesting. Cashmap.com is still available, still there. And if folks are interested, they can still register there, and we'll give them some information on how to gain access to the cash maps. But I've also ventured out in the past about 2.5 years. I've taken a very similar thought process and have expanded into what I call my busyness platform. That's BUSYNESS. And so we're focusing a lot of the same principles that drive cash maps. Are part of the business platform, but rather than focusing only on building an entrepreneurial business, we are helping folks to manage the craziness and the busyness of today's world to drive and create peace, not only peace but also productivity and accomplishment. To live in a way that you're successful, that you're achieving what you want to, but to doing so. In a way that you're comfortable, you're not stressed, you're not overburdened on a day-to-day basis.
Certainly something that is very badly needed.
Oh, yes. So it's been an interesting path with busyness. And I started, as I said, about 2.5 years ago with a busyness TV show. And I've said about 35 episodes, I think, out there. On it at business.com, and I've since kind of tabled that and may get back to it here, but we've definitely picked up a substantial response and level of interest with folks just because of everything that goes on in today's society, in today's world, and I'm sure we'll talk about that here in the rest of our hour.
Okay, Linda, I'll let you jump back in.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so interesting because so much of what Gina and I talk about is when you're in an entrepreneurial state, as we see with our clients and with our students, is you have the left brain and the right brain battling. The right brain wants to keep learning and is curious, and the left brain keeps saying, how do I put this into implementation right now? And especially in the entrepreneurial world, there's seldom just one thing that entrepreneurs need to learn. Excuse me. Got laryngitis here. And so I would love to know, Brad, as you're structuring your programs for working with entrepreneurs, is there a particular pathway or map that you're laying out for entrepreneurs in order to get a better handle on their busyness?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love the left brain, right brain type conversation, Linda, because that's very, very important. In fact, you know, for myself, it's something I've always been interested in, and we do work with our clients at times to, depending on the exact situation, to figure out where somebody is. Because it not only ties the cash maps in the power of cash maps, but what we've brought forward into the business platform, and it's directly focused on that. So for me, what I'm trying to say is, for me, I'm right in the middle. And when I take the right brain, left brain test, I literally score a zero. I'm right in the middle. And if I could be paid to learn, in that entrepreneurial, the creation side of it, my right brain, it just fires, you know, big time for me. But just as much as that left brain for me, and being able to look at anything as a system and to break it down into a set of smaller components or a set of, you know, step-by-step actions. And so we try to bring that forward with the busyness platform as well. So everything that we do, all of our training programs, we've learned from what we did with cash maps. So cash maps, one of the negatives of cash maps was that the fact that they were only a map. It was only a step-by-step map, and some people took very well to that. Some people absolutely love it, as, you know, kind of Gina pointed out and so forth. The folks that are left brain traditionally dig in, and they're like, wow, this is great. This is exactly what I need. However, you know, based on the feedback over the years, there's also some folks that are like, yeah, I get it, and this is important, but it doesn't speak to the right brain, give them the freedom and the creativity and so forth. And so we've learned from that. In fact, this is something I strongly suggest anybody listening right now should continuously take feedback from their customers and clients, and actually create a process of how to do that. But take that and then incorporate it into, you know, your future programs, products, and services. And don't be afraid to, I'm getting on a sidebar here, but don't be afraid to admit where it's like, wow, we fell short here. And that's what I admit with cash maps. It's like, yeah, we fell short here. So to answer your question, on the busyness platform, each of the different products that we put out to date consist of the core, let's say, cash map. It's a step-by-step map, but then it's surrounded by a whole bunch more. It's surrounded by checklists. It's surrounded by what I call a MEG, which is a short for a module at a glance document. And it's surrounded by videos, how-to instructional videos. So we feel like, in our feedback has indicated, we found a sweet spot now with the cash map technology, by not just relying on a map, but giving somebody the map, which appeals to folks' left brain, and then also giving them the training materials, both written, audio, and video, so that it appeals to the right brain side of learning as well. So does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, I had part of my early career was this mix of working in entrepreneurial business as well as really highly professionalized mega corporations. And in entrepreneurial businesses, everyone was doing things on the fly. On the highly, in the mega corporations where they'd been around for many years and had figured out, well, we've got to be able to transfer our know-how to each next generation of people who are coming into the company. So we've got to systematize how we think about work and how we document it so we can train the next person. Back in those days, everything was a policy and procedure manual with bullet points, or I don't even think people were using bullet points. It was, you know, the perpetual numerical indents from, you know, Roman numerals to and so on. So you had pages and pages of text. And then I had the opportunity to be an internal consultant at one of the Disney business units for several years, and that was where everything was communicated visually. And I'll say graphically and visually, it didn't matter. It was seldom just words on paper. It was a verbal story describing what people were looking at visually. And that was when I first really understood that everything that had been written in a text format actually could be depicted visually, and where I first became familiar with flow charts and so on. And nowadays, when I'm working with people, I constantly am shifting over to the whiteboard format where I'm drawing something and adding a word or two. And so it's fascinating to watch the evolution, but also to understand left brain, right brain is how do we keep both halves engaged and let people do their own best learning so that they own the material, the ideas, the concepts that are inside a process and really take ownership over it for themselves.
That's a great point. And that you know really summarizes where and again it may sound like I'm bashing my own product and you know on the CashMap side, and I guess I am, but let's not misunderstand that, because CashMaps have literally helped tens of thousands of entrepreneurs. But,
and I was one of them. I got them back when I was participating in one of Mark Joyner's programs.
Oh, good. Yeah. And so that's where that whole, you know, just the map, we're more dictating to somebody. We're prescribing to somebody, hey, this is what you have to do. Just do it in this order. And that doesn't, you know, although it works and there are proven processes that work, everybody's scenario is a little bit different, their situation, their unique business situation, the way they learn, their team environment, or just themselves, whatever, you know, their scenario or situation vary from one person to another. And that's where CashMaps fell a little short, was on the being, as you described, allowing somebody to actually internalize and make the process their own. And so that's where we kind of, with the business platform, we kind of step forward to do that. And yeah, it's really, really exciting. And I follow, you and I are a lot alike, it sounds like. Anyway, I'm always taking words and putting them into pictures. And you know, as far as internalizing things, that's an interesting point, because there's other people that didn't exist back when I started CashMaps, but they do exist now, that do, you know, similar type for folks, work with them to build processes and so forth. I tend to fall on the more of the highly visual with only limited amount of words to describe something. And that's just what I found that's worked for me, and that's what we train our clients and so forth. But you'll find some other people out there that are much more verbose in there. You know, they'll have it's much more wordy with a little bit of pictures trying to tie things together. And my point is, neither is right or wrong. But I think it's good for everyone who's listening here that as you, if and when you go down this road and start to document your business processes and systems and so forth, there's not a right or wrong answer. You just need to figure out for yourself what's the right balance between pictorial information, visual information, and words and other symbols.
You know, I think I'm going to date myself with technology a little bit. My first quote computer after an IBM Selectric typewriter was a Wang word processor. Mm. And I was introduced to my new toy when I took a role, a special role at UCLA Medical Center, and they opened up the door and said, and this is going to be your office. Oh, and by the way, we have this, and you're going to be the second person in the entire institution who knows how to turn it on and use it. And the Wang word processor came with a guide about how to use it that was a combination. It was literally drawn, I'm grappling for words right now because my brain has gone visual, but it was a linear document that you read, you know, you read each page from top to bottom, and the text was there, but next to it were graphics. They had created a visual flow chart with the descriptions next to it of what to do, and it was the fastest learning I ever had to go from a visual and language to the doing. And it really wired me for how I've constructed how I work with my clients ever since then, which is put the visual, put the verbal, and then have them do, and then let them redraw it if the reminders, because that's for me what the documents were, was first they were the training information and then they were the reminders for how to do it faster. And as you say, do it in half the time. Well, you do it in half the time by having to put the least amount of thought into it. And so, you know, that next step is having my students and my clients then take the information, adapt it to themselves, and now draw for yourself what's going to serve you best. Or if you've got to turn around and delegate to somebody else, how are you going to create your quote, your description of the, what needs to be done in a way you can now communicate it to the next person and keep passing that ownership along.
Yeah, I love it, and totally agree. And you know, along those same lines, there's another thing. I took some notes as you were talking earlier about the differences between, say, an entrepreneurial side of a little bit more free flowing and just trying to get the job done, and then moving into your corporate experience, and you wrapped up that story with Disney and about how, you know, procedures and processes, and Disney uses a little bit more visual versus others and so forth. And you know, that's another good thing I think I just wanted to touch on for listeners is that, you know, as we start out as an entrepreneur or a single business owner, there's something that I refer to as the me to we transition. And and that it kind of speaks to what you were talking about there. Is as we start out as a single business owner or an entrepreneur, we're just trying to get the job done. And we're just doing whatever it takes, whatever comes to mind, to task, whatever's on our plate that day, we're doing it. With little to no regard as to how we're doing it, what the process we're doing, and we're not documenting anything, typically. And then as the business grows, we get to the point where it's like, oh, we need to hire people, we need to outsource things, we need to start to standardize the way that things are done as your business gets, you know, hits the $10 million mark, the $100 million mark, and all. And that's why we see the big corporations out there that are sometimes to a fault, right, procedural-based. And standardized, and then you've got the single off entrepreneur that's way over here that has no documentation, and that's where, you know, as folks, depending on where you're at in your business growth, what we're talking about here is really you're caught in the middle of this me to we where it's like, well, it's only me right now, yeah, but if your business is going to be sustainable and you're going to grow it, you have to go through that transition, and that comes down to documenting what you're doing so that you can, you know, improve it, you can get faster at it, you can get it more streamlined, you get more efficient, more productive, and that you can use that then to train new hires or to outsource work to other people. So just another little buzzword there, the me to we transition I like to use.
I love the me to we transition. And you were just touching on something that's so critical in businesses, which is we all have to get what we do out of our heads so that we can get some independence from it and get some fresh thinking on it. And that fresh thinking can either come because we're in a conversation with someone else, such as this, or because we need to hand that off to someone else who's going to do it. And what I found, and you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this. What I have found in this whole arena of delegation is the best way to delegate is first be able to describe the endpoint of what you want someone else to be able to accomplish and then show them how it's done now and request that they demonstrate they can do it. They understand the steps for how to do it this way now. And once they can demonstrate they understand the why and the how it's set up now, then I absolutely invite all of their time, their experience, their expertise, you know, what's the rest of their life shown them that could make this an even better process. But having the anchor of the starting point being able to describe, this is how we do it this way now, and it's because of, you know, what's worked well in the past, the mistakes we've made that we've corrected by this process. And once you understand that, now, you know, wide open, would love to have you help us make it even better as part of our team and so on.
Yeah, that's the exact, in a nutshell, and it's a very good framework, and it aligns exactly with, you know, what we're doing, work with our clients too. And I think I'll use this as a good transition into the business side. So, you know, I think we can just, if we take what we've been talking about, and we start focus on that entrepreneur for small business owner for a second, and that individual starts to just do whatever is necessary without any documentation, without any, you know, regard for how we're doing it, then what happens is we get caught doing everything. And we're doing a whole bunch of different actions. And some of them are very meaningful to what we want, in this case, what we want out of business. And some of them are not so meaningful. And so that's where we took the whole cash map premise and I moved it over, as I said, two and a half years ago or so, over into the business platform, because that was what we were finding with our clients was that, okay, one thing is to know how to do something and the steps in order. Should I be doing it at all? And even the next step, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you know, most entrepreneurs are doing everything. And so that's where, as entrepreneurs, we're often the worst culprit. We're the ones that are caught the most in busyness, okay? And so the definition, to kind of tie this all together, the definition that I use for busyness is engaging in meaningless action. And so busyness is engaging in meaningless action. So we're all faced with the challenge of identifying what is meaningful and what is meaningless. And then as we spend our time on the things that are meaningful to us, that's how we start to gain control over everything that, you know, that we're doing. And as we, I'll stop there because I'm going to tie this back to your question, Linda, and our framework and how it relates to what you just described for delegation. But does that make sense, kind of the building block for busyness?
Absolutely. I think you and I are having a love fest. If we were on a cruise ship, everybody else would abandon us up on deck as we sat there staring out over the ocean.
too funny. Too funny. Yeah.
I'm loving it. How's that?
Good. There you go. So you wouldn't abandon us, Gina?
I would not have abandoned you guys. No way.
Well, that's a good vote of confidence.
Exactly. Well, you know, with 5 kids under 10 years of age, plus your multiple businesses, plus teaching and everything, there's nothing like the pressure cooker of, who's that marvelous woman, Gina, you'll know her name, Temple Grandin, who, you know, she redesigned how the cattle yards worked at slaughterhouses for how you calm down the chaos of cows milling in lots of directions and send them with comfort through a much narrower passage. And the image just came to me, you know, how busy do we have to be until we've hit our absolute apex of chaos so that we're willing to say, okay, I've had enough. There's got to be an easier way to do it. You know, I think, Brad, that's why people turn to me. That's why people turn to Gina. That's why people turn to you, is people finally wave the white flag of surrender going, okay, I'm no longer enjoying doing it this way. How can I, in fact, get guidance about how to bring the busyness down, bring the control up, stop doing the meaningless work, do work that's got a strategic purpose behind it. And because we're not talking about nonprofit organizations, we're talking about businesses, from my frame of reference, that means how do we make all of this work profitable so that it's paying to accomplish our goals and our vision for our wider life and so on.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And like you said, you know, people wave the white flag. And that's what we found with our clients. Is that's exactly right, whether it's in – you know, again, our audience here is primarily business, but busyness applies to a whole bunch of different areas of life too, whether it's, you know, family or your health. It affects all, you know, everything. But it definitely affects your career, your small business, life as an entrepreneur. And that in that segment, that's what we found, is that people are waving the white flag. And prior to that, you know, what we find with our clients is that there's this code, or this seemingly code that I think is crazy, but it's like a, you know, we laugh about it. It's like the badge of busyness, where it's like where people are always, you know, it's like if I can prove to somebody that, oh, I'm doing all this stuff and look at me, I've got this and that, I'm working 12-hour days or I'm working 18-hour days, or if it's somebody that's, you know, working for a company, they just want to be busy to maintain their status or to protect their job or whatever it is. So one of the first things of busyness, as you said, wave the white flag, is coming to the realization that it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't have to be that way. You do not have to jam your schedule up. You do not have to be at the center of everything. But until somebody really recognizes that and says, I can achieve these same results, I could achieve and produce the profits I want in my business without killing myself. Unfortunately, it takes usually some certain circumstances. Maybe it's something that's happening to somebody's health, or they just, you know, end up where they're just at wit's end trying to produce the profits that they want. It's usually some life event like that that drives somebody, and that's kind of part of the whole business platform, is we're trying to spread that message to people to say, hey, listen, there's a different way it doesn't, you don't have to wait until you have a health scare or something else before you're like, oh gosh, I need to go about my life or my business in a different way.
Yeah, you know, one of my jokes over the years has been, and I don't know if that it's a joke at all, is that we live here in the United States of America. While I've lived overseas, I can't generalize this to the whole world's population, but here in America, we live in what I refer to as the cowboy culture, where in fact, many people want to get together with others and talk about how they came in from being out on the range with their spurs on, and they get off their horse and they take their hat off and swat it against their legs to, you know, brush off some of the dust and say, you'll never believe how tough it was today. And they want that to be their story. And it's only when they're ready to let go of that story that they open up to, doesn't actually have to be that hard day in and day out.
That's right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. So then that's what's exciting. That's what's exciting, because there is so much opportunity. And, you know, a lot of the great things, technology and other things that society and the culture that we live in today, as much as it presents challenges to us and actually thrusts us into busyness if you're not consciously aware of staying out of it. But as much as there's things that thrust us into busyness, if harnessed properly, we can use a lot of these great pieces of our society and technology and so forth to combat busyness and really live, what I call an unbusy lifestyle.
So you have your busyness programs over, people can get there really rapidly by going to bbdnow.com/busyness, and I'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. And I'm curious, you know, you have a whole system that you take entrepreneurs through. And at the same time, are there tips that people can use day in, day out, that are not so much the stages that you take people through? I see, you know, one of your programs has got these 12 really perfect stages to help entrepreneurs step through. And I'm curious, are there techniques that it doesn't matter which stage you're in that are useful, either mind exercises and so on that you teach people to use?
There's a host of different things that we get into, and the best way, as I mentioned, if folks visit through the link that you mentioned, there's a lot of the different tips and so forth that I brought up in the Busyness TV show, as well as the blog. Now we've been, as I said, we started off the show. I haven't blogged consistently the last few months, but there's a lot of great content there, and we're gearing back up to get that back going. Again, so between the shows and the blog and so forth, and as that ramps back up, there's a ton of different tips and so forth there, and then we bake them into our programs as well, from speed of learning to mindset to other things, real practical hands-on things that you can do to position yourself so that you can take back control of your day or your in your business.
And by the way, one of the reasons people absolutely want to go there is because you've got a free Evernote training course, which I am going to be putting myself in, because I keep starting with Evernote and then find things that I just either can't figure out or I make it too complicated and I walk away, and a few months later I go, I really should figure out Evernote. So
thanks for bringing that up. It's funny, we have an email course. We have the Evernote course, which I'm going to elaborate on for you since you brought it up.
Yeah.
Because of the popularity of our Evernote course, we've actually kind of delayed putting out our core business program, which is in development right now. But it kind of ties all the tips and everything we alluded to that's in our blogs and in the show and so forth, that will be in one single course. But the Evernote training, the popularity of that has just been crazy. And I guess it was just kind of hitting the being in the right place and hitting at the right time with the growth of Evernote. But I can speak for Evernote and from a personal standpoint is I am literally, I mean, talk about living it, I am literally paperless. And it's taken a while to get there, to go back and discard or scan in what was necessary in file cabinets and so forth. But from a knowledge management perspective, to being able to get rid of paper, and then to be able to dump something into Evernote and to access it from anywhere, anytime, computer, iPad, iPhone, Android phone. It doesn't matter where you're at, or as long as you have internet connectivity, and even if you don't, you can access some of your stuff offline. It's the best. And I'm not sure if folks listening really know what Evernote is, but it's basically a tool to manage your knowledge. And it means everything. It can be audio, videos, paper, scanned in stuff. And so what we did is we went ahead and put together a full training course that follows the outline that we talked about towards the beginning of our conversation here, with a central map, a module at a glance document, and about 28 or 29 videos. We started out with just Mac. Now there's Mac and PC videos. And it's the popularity has grown to where we're actually in talks with Evernote right now, that this course is probably going to be coming out soon as part of their Evernote trunk.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Evernote is really awesome. And I'm anxious to go through the course myself, because I know I certainly don't make use of it as much as I should.
It's one of those things that this is just one, if you look at the overall busyness platform, this is just one tool, albeit a very important tool, that addresses many of the different areas of your life or business and just positions you to do a lot of the things that you should be doing if you use it. Now, I should say also, the course, and Linda, you mentioned it, thank you, it's absolutely free. When I designed this course and built it, it was totally being built with a $97 price point in mind, okay? And when we got it all done, I looked at it. There's other Evernote stuff that's out there, and I just decided, you know what, just being completely transparent with you and all the listeners, I said, you know what, instead of using this for monetizing it, I'm just going to use this I'm going to give super high value and give this away as a lead, basically a lead generator. And the response has been tremendous. In addition to that, we also are now, we've been doing monthly strategy sessions where for an hour we'll do a full presentation on a different topic. And you can gain access to the live video, the live training presentation, or gain access to the follow-up in archives. But for instance, in the next 2 days from now, we're doing another one that's all on how you use Evernote to manage your note-taking, from the LiveScribe pens to I'm looking at it right now, my Evernote Moleskin notebook and so forth. So we're going to be getting in two evenings from now on how you do that as an example. So the Evernote is something I can't stress the importance of and how just how impactful it can be to transforming your life and business.
Yeah, well, I know I need it because I started off as a pen and paper note taker, and then when the personal computer became available, I switched to that because I can type four times as fast as I can write, and then I started keeping little notes on Post-its. I both bless and curse the guy who invented Post-it notes, because I went from organized in notebooks to notes in computers to surfaces covered with Post-it notes. Like, now it's time to redesign it all back into the simplicity of one location, one way that things are, not one way things are organized, but an organized system where all my thinking goes into one destination and I'm done with it.
I can't tell you how many times, whether it's business or in life, where somebody asks, oh, hey, do you have that? And it's like, you know what, I don't remember off the top of my head, but hold on 1 second, bam. I whip my phone out of my pocket, fire up the Evernote app, type something in, and from what you said, imagine taking notes, scanning in those notes, putting them in there and having the system actually recognize, characters and so forth, and be able to pull up information for you from within PDF documents. It's stupid good.
Fabulous. Well, I want to go back for a minute, because you're living a typical entrepreneur's life, which is you're married, you've got kids, you've got businesses, you've got teaching, you've got relocation, and so on. So inside your family, what are you teaching your kids in the hopes that they've got some ways of being in their life now when they're, starting in school and developing their habits and so on?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll answer it like this, and that is that there's a general framework that sits underneath the whole business platform, and it's very similar to what you brought up earlier as far as delegation. What I call it is it's the acronym IDEAL, IDEAL. Okay, so and I call it ideal action. Basically determining and designing your ideal action. Okay, so each one of those first letters in the acronym IDEAL stands for something, and I is for setting your intentions. Okay, D is for designing your action, E is for executing your action, and then the A and the L is for analyzing and learning from your action. And so what you described earlier on delegation was, okay, you need to design, you described the deal, which is you need to design what you're going to do, execute it, analyze, and learn from it. And then you just do that, and you give that to somebody to delegate them to them, where you've already designed it, they execute it, and then once they figure that out, then they can analyze and learn and make it better, right? So this general framework is no different. The only difference to that is I added in the I at the beginning, which is your intentions, which are, you can think of intentions like a goal in your life, but intentions are absolutely, it's usually what's missing for most people's lives, including entrepreneurs or children, because they don't think about what's meaningful to them. Okay, so they just go about taking all these actions, whatever's thrown their way, and they go about their day in a reactive way instead of being proactive. So that acronym there is exactly how my wife and I structure things with our children, is that we are just, now I don't get into the whole acronym with them, and I don't get into it and talk to them about what intentions are in design and executing action and analyzing and learning from it. But that framework is what we try to instill in our children in a soft way. And that is to get their minds thinking about, okay, what is it that I should be doing? What is it that I should be doing? What is it that I shouldn't be doing? What is it that I want to do? What actions I want to take that mean something to me? Okay, and let's spend our time on that stuff as opposed to the stuff that they shouldn't be. So, of course, you can guess, or extrapolate what that means to children. It's completely different than what you should be doing as an entrepreneur or a business owner. But that same framework, I think, is what's most important coming out of this, our hour here together, that I would really encourage folks to think about. And that's what we do over at business.com, is help people to apply that. And you bring up a great point. It can be applied to businesses. It can be applied to your own life. It can be applied to children and help them to instill this framework, again, of understanding what's meaningful. And then whatever's meaningful, that's where you spend your time. Figure out what you're going to do around that. Do it. And then always, 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 let's learn from what we did, good or bad. If we make mistakes, that's fine. I'm more concerned about, with our children, if you make mistakes, that's great. Because I want you to now learn from those mistakes, and so that the next time you don't make the same. So it was a real generic answer there, but does that address your question, Linda?
No, it's perfect. I love it. I was thinking about the way I do frame it when I teach people how to lead breakthrough meetings and so on. It always starts with the intention, and then laying out, what's the outcome that you're desired before you step into action, and choosing which actions you'll take and which you won't in order to get your result, and designing what that action plan is going to be. And then exactly as you said, executing it, analyzing it, learning. And in Disney lingo, it was called test and adjust. You put it out there because you can never design something 100% perfect. You've got to put it into action and go and live with it and say, is it working the way we thought it would? Is it accomplishing what our intention was or not? And what are we going to adjust? And that is what entrepreneurs have to do day in and day out with so many parts of the business.
And I have a similar concept called 10% perfect. The exact same thing. I've got multiple videos on it so far. And it's the same thing where you have to put it out there. Get something 10% perfect, take action, move forward, learn from it, figure out where it fell short, and adjust it. And go for it. And I have to actually say, now that I'm thinking back, the framework that you outlined earlier and what you take your clients from is actually identical, because you did say at the beginning you started out with exactly what the end result should be. And yeah, that's exactly what the intentions are. And so that's an important thing here, right? I think if we're very transparent, if we're super transparent, you know, there's not a ton of, you know, absolutely earth shattering brand new stuff that the business platform brings. And I venture to say, I don't know all the details of, you know, exactly what you and Gina are teaching in your own respective organizations. But at the end of the day, it's similar material, it's similar concepts, it's similar mindset that are super, super important. And the beautiful thing is that I could care less where somebody gets, you know, help from, whether it's from you or Gina or myself or someone else. It's just a matter of, you know, if we can spur somebody to think beyond their current situation and maybe, you know, turn the light bulb on to say, oh, really, I never thought about it in that way before, and encourage them to go out and seek that, you know, advice and assistance, the same way we seek advice and assistance in our scenarios from other people. That's what life is all about, really, really moving forward here and ultimately, you know, living that life where it's meaningful, that we're achieving whatever it is that God places on this earth to each one of us to achieve. And that's really what, for me, drives what I do and drives what the business platform is all about.
Right. I think that's the value that you and Gina and I all share, which is we do know some people are right brain, some people are left brain, some people are different mixes. And, you know, I have every intention of sending people consistently to you because we never know who is going to resonate with which material at that right moment in time. And when the student's ready, the teacher is present. And I love your material. I love how you work with people. And I look forward to doing everything in my power to help you and your business program succeed.
Well, thank you very much. I've thoroughly, you know, enjoyed the opportunity and the platform here to chat about it, you know, and so forth. And it is, to me, this is a big, big, big problem that our society is faced with. And it's not just as individuals, and it affects corporations, and it's a big, big deal. And it's not made any easier with everything that, you know, all the advertising that we're faced with all the ease of access of technology, in access to the internet that we have. I mean, I laugh all the time. It's like, wow, wouldn't it be interesting to, when you leave the house in the morning to go to, say, to a client site or to go to a conference or something like that, and all you had was your landline, where you couldn't even be reached or accessed, or there's no email. I mean, you think back to those days, and how much more simpler was life back then?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not as productive. In one way, not as productive, and the other way, definitely not as busy. It's crazy.
And it all depends on our definition of productive, because now we have to have all these techniques for stopping ourselves from being interrupted and distracted, whereas back then you could literally give someone an assignment and they'd spend an hour focused on the assignment because there was nothing else to spend their time and attention on.
It was so nice back then, wasn't it?
I know.
We all sound like old-timers.
Yes. Yes, it is crazy, but I don't know. I really resonate with what you say there, and yeah, anything. I appreciate you know, that, and anyway, and I do likewise. I love to send my folks, you know, introduce my folks to other people as well, because as you said, you just never know when and who somebody's going to resonate with, and at the end of the day, it's about them really moving their life forward.
Exactly. I like to call it unleashing people's potential. And
any
way we can help them.
I just want to remind people before we run out of time, bbdnow.com/busyness. That's BUSYNESS. bbdnow.com/busyness. BUSYNESS. And, you know, Brad, you and I have said this, I can't even count how many times. But one of these days, we're going to get together and do something together, because there is so much synergy between what you've shared today and what I know I share on an ongoing basis. One of these days, we'll find a way to do something together.
We are definitely going to do. We are definitely going to do that. And you know, anything I can do. I've got one other thing that I'll just kind of leave with you and the listeners. I was really, when we scheduled this call, I was really hoping it was going to be done is it's a brand new, my own software platform, first software platform I've ever developed. And I'm learning that, wow, the time frame, it just keeps, it's a difficult endeavor. But I am going to soon, later this summer, be releasing what's called the busyness assessment. So we'll come back together and talk about that again, and I'll keep both of you in the loop. And for the listeners, it's a really cool thing where folks will be able to assess and actually calculate their, have their own busyness number calculated.
My goodness, Brad, that is really huge.
Right. So talk about doing some things together. There are some things there. I think that when this piece of software is released, I think we can have some major impact and really help some folks to get, you know, in combined forces.
I'll tell you what. I developed one piece of software of my own, one and only one. It was an experience I will never, ever again repeat. Lots
That's
of fun, really good stuff, but, oh, not where I'm spending my time in the future.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. And as I said, when we talked months ago about, you know, picking this date, I said, yeah, you know what? Yeah, May's great, because, you know, in my mind I'm thinking I'm gonna have the business assessment all done, ready to rock. And nope. But anyways, it's good to compare notes and share stories and really be able to communicate with one another, but for the benefit of all the listeners.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. Where in Michigan are you moving to?
Southeastern Michigan, back to our old stomping grounds, all of our family and so forth in the area, but the northern Detroit suburbs, so Rochester, Michigan area.
Well, you know, since we've never managed to connect while you were in Florida, maybe when I get up north to the South Bend, Indiana area this summer, we can connect in Michigan.
Yeah, especially if we time it with a trip for me over there to watch the Michigan State Spartans play the Notre Dame Fighting Irish sometime. Yeah, we make that drive every once in a while. It's only about 4 hours, so.
It really is, and I will definitely be there for that game. So let's see what we can do to make that happen.
Okay, good. Awesome.
Brad,
well, Linda, thank you
pleasure.
So
I'm
much
so
for
glad
you were
able to join us for this in the midst of your move.
Yes, thank you again for having me. It's my pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with both of you very, very soon.
Thank you again, and thanks, Linda, for getting this all arranged. It's been fun.
It sure has. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.